If you have your Bible with you, go ahead and turn to Psalm chapter 1. I'm not continuing the series that Pastor Irv is preaching from. We're doing something else today. We'll let him continue that when he gets here. But Psalm chapter 1. About 50 years ago, I read this poem and it had a big impact on me and in my life, and I wanted to share that with you. And now as a 62-year-old, I reflect back on that poem, and I want to kind of see, how did I do based on what this poem said? So let me read this. And it's a very familiar poem if you're into that kind of thing. You may have read it in school. That's where I first saw it. So it's called The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. And it goes like this. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler, long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim. Because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. So as we reflect on those words, reflect on that poem, you and I go through life and we make choices. And then sometimes we reflect back on, well, how did I do with that? Did I make the right choice? Or sometimes instantly it's apparent, man, we blew that. You know, I can go back and think of a few girls I dated before I met my wife. You know, and there's a couple there that I thought, man, I think I'm going to marry them. Now, my honey bunny, she's not in this service. She'll be in the next one. So I can talk about her and say whatever I want now. But I reflect back on that. You know, maybe I made some bad choices with running around with that girl or running around with that crowd. And you're the same way. We make these choices in relationships and jobs and finances, all these kind of decisions. You know, I think about how we spend money. Man, we see that shiny thing, whatever it is. Oh, I got to have that. And so I spend my money. And then sometimes you have what's called buyer's remorse. Man, I shouldn't spend all that money on that thing because after I've had it for a while, it's just kind of worn off. It's not new anymore. It's like that new car, if you've ever bought a brand new car or even a used one that's in pretty good shape. Sometimes they hang that thing in there or they spray the stuff and it has new car smell, you know? And you smell that for a while, and then sometimes you think, man, I should have bought a bicycle as much as this thing's costing me to run. So we make choices. Some are good, some are bad. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to open up the Word of God, and we're going to see about the choices that we make in life. I'm going to read Psalm 1, 1 through 6. You follow with your copy of the Word, and it's on the screen as well, I believe. Yes, it is. And here we go. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. And it goes like this, how blessed is the man, or you may prefer blessed, I love that pronunciation as well. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But, hey now, every time you see the word B-U-T in the Bible, you got to take your pen and you circle that because there's something cool coming after that. All right. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Verse 3. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. But they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Those are kind of heavy words, aren't they? Especially if we're on the wicked side of things. So as we break this down, we're going to break this down kind of into three areas. We're going to take a look at the blessed man. And sometimes I like to kind of introduce something. I heard this at a Passion conference. That's where a bunch of college and young people come together and they have these conferences. And here the last bunch of years, they've been down in Atlanta. And I remember Louis Giglio, who started all these Christian conferences and so on. I remember he said, someone asked him, hey, what are we going to do like next year? Where are we going? What's the plan? He said, we're just going to raise the sail and see where the Spirit blows. So right now, that's what we're doing. We're going to raise the sail and see where the Spirit blows us in this passage. Every day when we get up, we should raise the sail and see where the Holy Spirit of God might blow us. Sure, we have responsibilities. We have jobs and things we have to do and so on. But who does God put in your path and in mine? Someone maybe He wants us to talk to pray for, to encourage, maybe even to share Jesus with them. So let's yield to the Holy Spirit of God this morning and see what He would teach us. So in verse 1 there, we have kind of like these, what I would say, three trilogies. If you've ever watched a series, like a movie, or read a trilogy of books and so on, you'll see these different pieces of and parts and so on. And so we're going to look at three trilogies of the way this is expressed here, how the psalmist, the writer of Psalm chapter 1, how he says three things. He does not walk, stand, or sit in the council. So who are we talking about? We're talking about how blessed is the man who does not walk, who does not sit, who does not stand in the council of the wicked. So it bears a question. How many times have you and I started running around and being in the council of the wicked? And we wound up doing things we shouldn't have done because we didn't take the counsel of the Lord at that moment of time. In other words, we're running with the wrong crowd. I was sharing with men's Bible study. We've got a men's Bible study group meets here on Saturdays at 8 a.m. And I was sharing with them. I hung out with this chaplain's kid on post. See, my dad was a chaplain, so I'm a chaplain's kid. I'm an army brat. And so I became friends in junior high with this other chaplain's kid. And you know what? I didn't pull him up. He pulled me down. That's kind of sad, a chaplain's kid pulled you down. But he was kind of a rough character, even though his dad was a chaplain. Not to go back and be overly judgmental, but his dad was a little more on the administrative side than talking to people about the Lord. But that's another conversation for another time. But I let him pull me down. We ran around doing stuff all over posts we shouldn't have done. I'm so glad to this day that I never got caught and that my mama and my daddy didn't find out. But I was not running around in the counsel of the things of God, but I was running around in the counsel of the wicked, because I was allowing him to pull me down. And so my Bible tells me this morning, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Have you ever been a scoffer? Have you ever been one of those people that's sitting there and putting everybody else down because of maybe it's the cool thing to do? And I can remember that, going back in school, making fun of whoever it was over there. And that bothers me to this day, because I probably harmed that person, even though I thought it was fun and funny, and I'm running around with my buddies, and we think that's cool, because maybe they're different or whatever the deal was. So I was a scoffer. Have you ever been a scoffer?
Yes, sir.
If you're like me, then you're guilty, huh? Mm-hmm. So what do we do that? Even though maybe the Lord brings it to our mind, something we did 10 years ago. What do? We confess that to the Lord. And then we do something called repent and turn away from it and quit doing it and start in the counsel of the Lord. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Do you have delight reading the Word of God? Oh my gosh, look at the blessing that you and I have today. We get to gather together publicly in this place and worship and read the Word of God together. Together. What a blessing. What a privilege. You know, we can go off on this dissertation of how many people across the world don't have this kind of opportunity because of where they live and the government they live under. And who knows what's going to happen here in the days to come? Because as we read our Bibles and if we read the book of Revelation, it ain't going to get no better till Jesus comes back. Does that make sense? So we got to be ready, whatever that is. But what a blessing today. We get to read the Word of God together. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Do you meditate on the Word of God day and night? Man, anything I'm saying to you right now, I'm saying right back to myself. You know, I can make a choice of sitting there and watch the TV and watch endless hours of television or consume content on the internet or whatever it is. I played 18 holes of golf with my son yesterday, which I didn't know I was doing that. I thought we were going to play 9 holes because that's what I normally play. Because 18 holes is almost like an all-day event. And it was, because it was slow. Guys in front of us, they didn't have a clue what they were doing. And it certainly wasn't my greatest round. But you know what? It took a lot of my time. Now, is my time better spent on meditating on the Word of God? Now, is there anything wrong with going out and do recreational things? No, there's nothing wrong with that. Is there anything wrong with watching a football game here and there? No, there's nothing wrong with that. But are we putting our maximum effort and our quality time, are we spending time with the Lord Jesus? Are we meditating on His Word so that it gets inside of us and we're saturated with it? When's the last time you got a sponge and you put it in the sink that was full of water? You took the sponge out, all of a sudden it's heavier than it was because it sucked up that water. Are we the same way? Are we saturated? Are we sucking up the things of God because we're spending time in His Word? Because if I don't, then I'm going to be in the council of the wicked. And I'm going to run around and I'm going to act like a fool. Okay? I'm going to act like a lost person. So this meditation on the Word, it really involves not just study, but retention. I know some brothers that come on Saturday mornings, man, they've memorized the Word. They can sit there and quote chunks of the Word. Well, that didn't happen overnight. That took time. You know, the Bible talks about hiding the Word in our hearts. That's to get it inside of us so it'll change us, and then we don't hide it anymore. Then we go share it with somebody. Okay? So verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Word, or law of the Word, and in his law he meditates day and night. Verse 3, and here's the result of that. If we meditate on this Word, if we spend time in the Word of God, here's the result. Here's the prize. The prize is verse 3, and he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. I'll encourage you before you make any kind of especially major decision in life, spend some time in the Word of God. Pray. I used to, years ago, I taught high school Sunday school, long, long time ago. And sometimes we would, As a department, I guess you would say, we had a pretty sizable youth department at this church. And sometimes as a team, we would decide, well, let's do a couple of weeks on dating and stuff like that. We would hit some themes like that. So I would look at some of the young ladies, some little high school young ladies in my class, and I would say, remember, a potential date is a potential mate. You may have heard that before. I did not come up with that. Okay, a potential date's a potential mate. Very few people go out and marry somebody they first hadn't gone out at least, you know, on one date with. And the more you go out with them, the more familiar you get and the more, you know, all that kind of stuff. And before you know it, you're marrying somebody you have no business marrying. Because you married someone who's not following Jesus. And there's somebody in here that may have been your situation. I mean, I went out with a girl or two I probably had no business going out with, you know. So are these things important? Should I have prayed before I went out with that girl? Should you have prayed when you went out with that dude? You know? Do we pray before we go buy a car or buy a house or take that job or move to Walla Walla, Washington or wherever we're going to move to? Do we pray through those things and make sure that these things are in the will of God? Do we pray when we get up in the morning and meditate on the Word? Do we do those things? Because if we're not doing those things, we can decide to do them now. That's the cool thing. I can draw a line in the sand, and if I have been doing it, I can start doing it in the next few minutes, right? Because when I do read the Word of God and I follow the things of the Word of God, and verse 3 tells me I'm firmly planted. I'm yielding fruit in its season. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes you may share Christ with somebody for 10 years before they come to the Lord. Don't give up. How many grandmamas out there prayed for you and prayed for me? How many mamas and daddies prayed for you and prayed for me that we would come to the Lord? Don't give up. You may have a child out there who's not walking with the Lord. I guess I'm probably on TV. I got one that probably does need to do a better job, but I don't think she's watching right now. So if she hears this, I guess she'll get mad at me. But I didn't say her name. Okay. But she can do a little better job in some things, and sometimes I can as well. Its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. Does that mean you're going to be a millionaire? No, not necessarily. But if you're following God, you're going to prosper in the things of God. How do you prosper in the things of God? Well, the more you get that word in you, the more you're going to share it with other people. And all of a sudden, you may be leading a family group. Or you may be teaching Bible study. Or you may be, you know, on the front row encouraging the pastor, like Brother Dwayne is. That's right. I need that. Amen. Thank you, Brother Dwayne. Verse 4, the wicked are not so. We got this contrast now between the blessed man and the wicked. It's like night and day. It's like black and white. There's a huge chasm, a huge division between the two here. Verse 4, the wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. I don't know if you've ever gotten like some kind of grain or something, like you're in a field or whatever, you start doing this like that, and then all of a sudden the good stuff can remain and the rest can blow away in the wind. That's the description here. But they are like chaff which the wind drives. Well, where does the wind drive? It drives them all over the place. They get blown all over the place. There's no direction. All they know to do is follow the wrong thing. In other words, all you and I have to do is really do nothing. I can do nothing and go along with the things of the world and become just like the world. But if I want to become like the Lord and do the things of the Lord, then it takes time. I have to open up the Word of God. I have to read it. I have to meditate on it. Then I got to do that tough one, and that's called obey it. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Some of y'all may never heard that. Old hymn, but one of the great ones with a great message. Trust and obey. You and I got to obey the Lord. Verse 5. Man, we're moving along. Moving along here. Verse 5. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So verse 5, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment. There's different judgments of God that are described in the book of Revelation. We're not going to get into all of those. But wouldn't it be a horrible thing to be in front of God on the day of judgment, and he says to your friend, come on into heaven, into my presence. But you're cast out over here into everlasting darkness in a place called hell. Wouldn't that be a horrible thing? So what do we need to do? We need to make sure that we're tracking with Jesus. The wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. What's a sinner? That's someone who misses the mark, right? You go back and you really look at that word, it's called missing the mark. Well, what is that? Well, that's back in the day when they had a bow and arrow. Man, when I was a kid and somebody in my family made me a bow and arrow, boy, I had a time for a day then. But then you get that target out there, you know, those circular targets with the rings, and the rings get smaller and smaller. And then the exact centers, you know, like right there in the very middle of that thing. Well, if you shoot that bow and arrow and that arrow is just slightly off, guess what? You miss the mark. It's a pretty good shot, but you still miss the mark. That's like sin. We just can't be perfect all the time. We need a Savior because we miss the mark. We look at the law. We look at the commandments. You tell one lie, you're a liar. You steal one thing, you're a thief. You look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. You get mad at your brother, another person. Jesus said you committed murder in your heart. Pretty soon, real quick, we see we're a bunch of sinners, aren't we? We've missed. How many lies have you told in your lifetime? I've told a bunch. And sometimes we try to gloss them over and call them a white lie. Oh, that's okay. I told a white lie. You know, it's still a lie. It's still missing the mark. Now we're under the judgment of God. We're among the wicked. So we're in big trouble. Well, how do we move from that? How do we pass from the judgment of God that's being described here? How do we stand in the assembly with the Lord? How do we do that? We confess all those things of lying and stealing and all the things we've done. We confess those. We repent of them. What's that? So my dad, being an army chaplain, he used to like act out his sermons. And so he would describe this. He would start marching. You know, it's like you're marching in formation. Then all of a sudden that drill instructor says about face, and he'd spin around and go the other direction. That's repentance. So I was going over here with the wicked. Oh no, I see I'm doing wrong because now I'm following Jesus. I got to turn around and go with Jesus this way. That's repentance. Change of mind. Change of heart. Then change your direction. Have you ever confessed and repented of your sin before a holy God? So we're not walking in the counsel of the wicked. So we can stand in the assembly with the Lord Jesus. These things are so, so important. Verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Isn't it interesting that God knows? He knows what's going on, doesn't he? Yes, sir. He knows who belongs to him. He knows you and me. He knew us before we were born. He knows everything we do. He knows what we don't do. He knows our thought life. Oh no. We're in big trouble, huh? We're guilty. We got to make sure we're walking with the Lord. And my dad used to say, be packed up, prayed up, and ready to go up. So we got to be praying. Be doing the things of God. Verse 6 again, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So there's a contrast there. There's a contrast. You and I need to make sure we're going along the way. What is this way in this reference? What is the whole manner of life as you go through life? What are you doing? Where are you going? How are you acting? Who are you talking to? What are you saying? All these things. What's your way of life? Are you a Jesus follower? If somebody put you on trial to find out if you were a Christian, would you be convicted of being a Christian? Can we find enough evidence in your life? Is there enough fruit in your life to convict you for being a Christian? I hope so. I hope there's enough in mine. So, I'm going to go ahead and ask Alyssa if she would come on up, and as we're winding down here, and the way of the righteous, what a contrast. The way of the blessed man, what a contrast. You know, it's interesting to me that when we contrast these two ways, we have too many professing Christians who want to be more like the world. Until it gets to a point where it's hard to discern between the believer and the non-believer, because sometimes the believer acts and looks so much like the non-believer. And I think we're probably all guilty of that from time to time. And so maybe this is a time as we enter into a time of, let's just call it a time of prayer and confession. I'm going to just ask you to bow your heads right now. close your eyes, focus in on the things of God. Let Him search your heart. Is there anything in your life today you need to confess before a holy God? Is there anything that you need to repent of and turn away from because you're stuck in something that is not appropriate? Turn it over to the Lord. Ask Jesus to forgive you of that. And you may be in here where you've never asked Christ to be Savior and your Lord. So I would encourage you, I'm going to come down front here in just a second, and you'll have opportunity to come up for prayer. I'm going to ask Ross. Ross is going to be in the back. If you need prayer, Ross will be in the back. If you want to pray, I bet Brother Dwayne even pray with you up here. But if you need to come and talk to one of us about the Lord and how you can come to know Him, just think of it this way. He died and took the punishment that you deserve on that cross. And the power of God raised Him from the dead 3 days later. And all you and I have to do is confess sin, confess missing the mark, confess all these things, repent of them, turn them away, turn away from them. Put our faith in Jesus, that He took our punishment on the cross. And when we do that, we mean that, we pass from death to life, we miss hell, and we have a home in heaven. You don't want to go to hell. The biblical description of hell is a horrible place. Fire, brimstone, burning, gnashing of teeth, separated from others. Reserved for the devil and his angels, his demons. But He'll let us go there. But you choose to follow Christ today. So let's pray together. Father, we come to You in the mighty name of Jesus. We confess our sin corporately before You today. We repent of our sin. And we just ask that You would come into the life of anybody here who's never asked You to be Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.